It's the Tiltcast episode 669. Jason Games Again.
And this month, guys, we talk about a ton of games. We discuss Dispatch, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, Warhammer 40k Space Marine 2, Elden Ring, Cult of the Lamb, Kazan, and the Nucleus Co-op mod.
Stay tuned, guys. It's a big one. It's the Tiltcast. I don't know where we went pirate. It's an M-rated show.
I don't know.
I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Hookfist. Rusty.
And together with the three of us, you're going to get about... We do this different now. Is it 30 minutes of bullshit? Games and news?
Some amount of bullshit.
Probably a little bit more, but definitely a lot of game this time around.
Yeah, we had Christmas break. We changed the format the last 3 months. We're not used to doing full-length shows like we used to, but this is our bread and butter. This is what we're used to. This is how we be. We are doing the full episode, and then we'll, you know, do the other stuff later this week. So, yeah, we're back. It was a really good Christmas break.
All right.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
It's all right. This is okay.
It was a long one.
I'm glad it's over.
I'm not.
I got a lot of gaming done.
So. I'm really glad it's over.
You got a lot of gaming and some other things done. It's been a Christmas break. We went through right before everything stopped for the holidays, went through the Game Awards and the weirdness that was there and watching the internet be the internet, freak out about Clair Obscur, which was dumb as shit. That game deserved everything it got. Not the dumb AI controversy, but it definitely deserved all the awards.
See, it's been talked about to death for sure, but I am so over this whole AI thing, and I know it's not going away, but damn, am I over it?
Yeah. We still have new things that it might be affecting.
Well, of course, it's never going to go away. It's just going to evolve. I just hope that it doesn't become self-aware.
So, getting off the AI train a little bit, Jason, did you play anything or do? Well, obviously, you did things during the holidays. What did you do?
No. Dude, so much between, Christmas and trying to decide. How much is too much for the kids and yada, yada, yada. A lot of shopping week before Christmas. And then the week of Christmas was a lot of, I had a pretty busy, because of the holiday, pretty busy December just with work and everything. And then all the family time, and surprisingly the family was like, go play a game. Quit yelling at us. Go play a game.
Yeah, get out of our hair. Go play a game.
Especially thanks to the Rogue Ally I picked up around Thanksgiving. They will get a lot of gaming done in the almost month and a half since we last recorded a full episode.
We just looked at the post on that, and it was November 17th, and we were going to record the weekend before Christmas. There was so much, my family decided they were going to do Christmas that day, so like I couldn't do it. And then Jason, your family was like, oh, we're going to do it at like 4 o'clock. So it's just like, by the time I was free, you were not free. And like, what do we do? Record at like 9 o'clock at night? This is like, let's just call it. Like, we're people.
It happens. Yep. The holidays, it's a thing.
The holidays come once a year.
Yeah.
And we record, man, we record so many more episodes than we used to. Like, come on, guys. Like, three episodes a week, and then we do a long-form show on top of that. Like, Jason is just editing his brains out nowadays, and we all work very full-time jobs.
Let me tell you, the video editing I have down to a smooth process, but it's still time-consuming no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. And then just trying to figure out all the freaking intros and everything else. We are on a journey, guys. At some point, we're either going to make it or we ain't. So, but we enjoy doing this. And I even if we don't do this, I think we're still going to sit on Discord and just BS, because that's just something we've been doing for a very long time.
Oh, well,
I mean,
yeah.
That's been most of our adult lives, the three of us together.
It really has. Holy shit.
Bullshitting about shit.
We've been, for context, guys, to tell a very, very quick story. Me, Jason, and Rusty have known each other since our 20s. We all used to work together, and we all had a shared love of things nerdy and video games. And then I started podcasting as a video game podcast, and like five episodes in, I was like, do you guys want to do that with me? And Rusty was extremely silent for most of the first few episodes until he finally was like, you know what? I can talk on the internet. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny. And then he can't get you to fucking shut up. So, like, I guess it worked.
I sat there staring at that fucking, you know, cheap ass snowball mic that we had sitting on a coffee table. We were recording on that coffee table with a laptop, and I was sitting cross legged on the floor. And I was just staring at that thing like it was an alien.
Yeah, we also used to all work nights, so we'd start recording at like 11 o'clock at night and finish at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm 43 years old. Jason, you're 40, and Rusty, you're what, 44?
44.
Yeah, like we've been doing this since we were in our 20s.
I mean, what, the three of us together have been, at least if you count from the point where Rusty and I were on, you know, every two or three episodes, right? We've been doing this together for
about 15 years.
17, 18 years.
Has it been?
No, because it was before I bought this house in 2009.
No, we haven't been. We've been hanging out, but we haven't been podcasting that long.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
yes.
Where it was.
Yeah.
It was the end of 2012.
Oh, when we started podcasting.
The very first game that I talked about.
The Borderlands 2, right?
Borderlands 2.
Dang, I didn't realize it was that long that game was out. Yeah, and then, no, we did 2011, we did the, went to GameStop and recorded the Skyrim episode.
Oh,
on
That
was an interesting experience. Some much has changed in gaming too, though, because used to be midnight events, right? Like games used to be a lot more physical than they are nowadays.
Oh yeah,
and that is something I kind of miss. I do miss.
I miss releases being events.
I miss physical media. Like this is something that I've been talking to with friends. Like I really like intentionally. I like seeing this is what I have, right? Like if you go buy a game, right? You don't go to. I'm just using GameStop as an example because that's where we all used to go a long time ago. You didn't go and buy 8 games on sale at GameStop. You're like, I can get through 2, maybe, right, on sale. And that's what you did. And then you played them and you beat them. And now with, like, digital media, sometimes you get, you know, be like Steam sale. I'm going to spend, like, $70 and you buy, like, 8 games. And then you forget about them sometimes. You're like, where did that go, right? And you got to go back through, like, your purchase history to figure out what you got. If you failed to install it right as you got it, or you don't remember the title of whatever it was, right? Like I buy a lot of indie games now, but it's like, it's just so much different because you can't be intentional. And I do the same thing with music, right? If you think about music, and I was going through this the other night, I'm opening up liner notes, right? I have gotten into records, and the reason is like, I have to pay attention, right? It's not like you can skip around, but it's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you, right? So if you're going to buy a record, you better like most of it. And then while you got it there, you can, you've got liner notes and you've got photos and you've got all sorts of art that's associated with it. It's a very tangible thing that you have to be intentional about. Like, you can play it in the background, that's fine. But like, it's a very tangible experience. And games used to be a lot more tangible too. And I miss that, because you had to be a lot more intentional in your approach, right? I got to put it in the drive. I've got to load it up. I've got to, you know, these are the games I have in that shelf over there. Go pick one versus, yeah, I can go re-download it, whatever. Right? I do miss some of that stuff. And now we're running into a thing. We'll get into some stories later about like GeForce Now and all that other stuff and hardware prices going off the chain. But tangent aside.
Yeah, we will. But first, I did play a ton of games.
Well, let's get into it.
A lot done.
Do it.
So we, so not only did I play through and beat RoboCop Rogue City Unfinished Business, which was even better than, than Rogue City, even though it was confined to a single building.
Is it on sale right now? Till tomorrow?
I don't know if it is.
I'm going to look it up while you're talking about it.
I don't know. But that was a very, very, very enjoyable about 14 hours worth of play. It's more Rogue City, but it's more streamlined because it is in a single location. They didn't try to do the open mapping. The story is much more concise.
It is $17 right now.
Again, it just feels good to walk through levels like a fucking tank. I will reiterate again, it's one of the best feelings you can have playing a shooter. But I also, I took the leap, took the gamble, purchased Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, and I played through that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, after fully beating the game, I do not feel ashamed of paying $60.
I'm not going to completely shit on
experience.
You. But. Are you sure part of that's not just like you bought it and now you're going to make it work?
Yeah. Sunk cost fallacy.
Genuinely
sunk,
not.
Sunk cost. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
You know, there was the only real problem I had with the game as far as technical issues was it's just not very well optimized as far as LOD when you're entering or exiting a building.
Oh, and you have a 3080 as well.
Yeah, and I have a 3080. So it, and because of my new monitor, I was playing it at 1440. So it was hitching quite a bit until everything kind of loaded in. And I did test that it was a 1440 thing because I still have my 1080p monitor that just doesn't have HDR, so it doesn't look as good. And everything loaded much faster. It, you know, had none of that hitching, entering and exiting buildings, which it does live. So no loading screens for that. I actually really did kind of dig the story of the game. It is much more of a linear story and doesn't feel necessarily like you're playing the tabletop with your friends. So it does have that difference over the original. The original felt much more like you were playing through a TTRPG storyline, right?
Right.
But that's okay with me as long as it's a good story. And it actually is a fairly good, well-written story, that I feel like, got on fairly shat on by most of the internet because, there aren't a whole lot of examples of a, Diablerized vampiric soul, you know, like talking to the talking in the head of the person who Diablerized them. Right.
I don't even know what that is.
Diablery is when one vampire completely drinks another dry.
Oh, I was thinking it had to do with like loot tables.
Nope. No. No, it is.
You essentially absorb the soul and powers of the vampire you drink.
That sounds sexual.
I mean, there is a lot of the World of Darkness setting that is very, very Anne Rice. Because they drew a lot of heavy inspiration from her literary world. But really, it felt decent. The one knock I have on the game is that they could have made the side quests beefier, in my opinion. And I felt there were a few of them that I felt like that was the intention. But because of the history of the development of this game, they didn't feel like they had the time to fully flesh them out.
I feel like this was like a puzzle that was scattered across the four winds that they had to make their own pieces for. Like,
exactly. It
felt very patched together, at least from the outside.
But just the, like the main primary story components of it and playing through that, felt really good. The combat's a little bit tricky, takes some getting used to. You'll get owned a few times before you kind of get the dodge and parry mechanic down. It's pretty tough. But you know, overall, really, I didn't have any real bad gameplay experience with it.
What's your final rating now that you beat it?
It's respectable. It's 4.3.
4.3, that's a fairly high rating.
I mean, I will play it again at some point. It didn't complete it. There was nothing about the game that screamed incomplete, you know, for what they were trying to accomplish, right? Considering all the pieces they had to put together. You know, it actually really plays really well. Now, that said, I know all of the shit that's been spewed about it on the internet. So I won't sit here and say, guys, go pay $60 for it because everybody's going to be happy with it. There are so many people who have so many, specific hangups about that world. That I'm not going to say this will fit everybody, but if you can turn that lore specific brain off, because it does follow most of the lore very closely, but there are specific things that, I could see why it rubs people wrong. If you pick this up for $30-$40, it is an enjoyable game to play. It's not, the gameplay is not bad. The world and the environment works. It looks very pretty. You know, actually targeting the correct morals to feed off of to, you know, in preparation for, say, a combat you got owned in, so you need to rethink your strategy or something like that, is really enjoyable. And they did go into enough detail that the vampire can sense the aura of the humans, etc.
I should preface it that you and Rusty are the biggest Vampire the Masquerade fans I know by and large.
And we're not even huge, you know, like huge fanboys, we're not going and doing the LARPs or anything, right?
Thank God,
no.
There are some people that literally
wasn't this werewolf? Stuff. Wasn't this werewolf? Is it something like that? Yeah.
Well, werewolf is in the same universe.
I just remember one of my friends telling me that.
Well, there's werewolf, there's hunter, and there's vampire. So basically,
yeah. But did you know, I just remember a long time ago, some old gamer buddies of me. There was a house where a lot of people lived. Right when we were way younger. And I remember very specifically, there was one person in the house that liked LARP, and there was somebody walking around like this. And it's like, what are you playing? And they're like, Vampire the Masquerade. And it's like, dork.
Right.
Because you know, we were doing Toilet Slam with Half-Life on LAN. I mean, not that it was that much less with dork.
I do think it's actually a much more solid game than most of the internet gave it credit for. I didn't run into any of the bugs. Most of the actual reviews
it might be patched out at this point.
It for, but it may have been, it may have gotten patched out before I reached that point in the game, right?
Yeah. Well, there were stories of people that were losing saves. Right, hours of progress, and I think that probably affected some of the user and review scores early on. Like, if your save auto deletes, like, I would be like super pissed.
Oh, of course,
yeah. Which again, I never experienced, so I can't take that into account.
No, but that's
for me. It didn't happen.
So, speaking of games, did you end up beating a lot more stuff?
I did. I ended up. Granted, I mean, you know how these games go. It was only like 6.5 hours or something, just mainlining it. But I finally got my hands on and played Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, okay.
And just went through the story on that. That team knows what they're doing. I'm not gonna reminisce all that much about a 2-year-old game here. And then. The one game that really sunk me in, and I have done 3 playthroughs of in between playing other stuff, mostly just because it works really well on my ROG Ally, is Dispatch.
Oh, fucking dude. Where you Rusty, have you played Dispatch yet? Did you finish it?
I haven't finished it.
So, no spoilers. No spoilers, so, Jason. Yeah, you've got to shut your damn mouth. You
shouldn't spoil it anyway, because that's the whole end of the whole game.
Yeah, it is the whole game. Dispatch. Dispatch.
So what episode are you on, Rusty?
My guy.
We're not spoiling it.
I have the worst gamer ADD. Whatever it was. You know, when I said, I think it was like episode 3, I'm only like halfway through it.
And we're not going to talk about anything about that game. So Dispatch, if you haven't played it, is essentially like an old Telltale game, just better written.
Yes.
And it's
extremely well written. It's written as the only Telltale game. Granted, most of these people are that original team that worked on the first 2 seasons of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the level of writing from the first season of The Walking Dead.
I think they were the same folks that did.
They're also the same folks that did Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us, yeah. I really enjoyed the fuck out of Wolf Among Us.
It is a playable movie, right? Like a choose your own adventure thing. However, I think the game is so entertaining, right? Like it deserves to be somewhere in our top 5, like end of year. That game is.
Oh,
I was super hooked. I just played that. I didn't take a day off work, but I ended up not sleeping one night because I wanted to keep going. Like that game is really good.
It's extremely good, and the story, the voice acting, everything's like
it's A+ tier.
So far, somehow they reached a level higher than what they reached with. With the Wolf Among Us, as far as the writing and the acting in the game,
yeah,
I don't know how the fuck they did it.
Like,
other than the fact that, yeah,
I mean, well, the collaboration with Critical Role was a big, big,
that was
big
smart
portion of that.
It was because they got a good half of that cast playing characters in this game. Yeah, in fact, three of them play play main characters in the game.
But just like there is a decent amount of decisions that you can make on your own because there is like a gamified element in between like big story beats that kind of forces you to engage a lot with mechanics. And then it goes back to like big story beats. And it, I think.
And the mechanics that they build in with the actual superhero dispatching is another thing that elevates it. You're not literally just pressing a button for quick time events and then, you know, choosing the answers you want in conversation.
Like, it's kind of like,
which is essentially all Telltale games were.
This is more
with
like
this dispatching mechanic built in. It gives it some of that RPG feel.
Well, it feels like a board game, right?
In the
right?
middle of every episode.
Yeah, it feels like a board game. Like the basic mechanic of dispatching is you've got a level of success based on how you've been building your characters. So, A, you have to have been building them, right? That you level them up in different ways. And then you have kind of, it's like a puzzle, right? You're like, okay, this scenario requires this to work, right? And then there's a random chance, right? You're essentially beefing up your dice roll based on how you built your characters to solve that situation. And then sometimes you have events that happen in the middle of that that you have to further make decisions on. But that's in the middle of all the story beats of everything. And it does not surprise me that you played that three times through because there is a lot of different ways that game could end, which we will not talk about. Like the only thing we're going to tell you story-wise is the fact that you are a superhero that has fallen that is no longer a superhero, and you are hired by an agency to dispatch other superheroes. And it's at a level of mature writing that it's not cringy in a dumb millennial kind of way that sometimes this stuff is. It's done in a very mature way, right? And what I mean by this is not something
actually to, some very, very
there's some heavy stuff.
Gen X, early millennial. Crude humor in this that I love.
I'd appreciate that, but like none of it was cringy. I think that it.
No.
They did a really good job of giving like some heavy moments.
It was.
They gave a lot.
It was all in context, which is great.
But the thing I'm trying to say is it wasn't written by hipsters. That's what I'm trying to say. No. It wasn't written by hipsters or art film students. Like there was. There's a really good balance in the writing.
Ultimately, it's a really good dramatic superhero story with excellent comedy.
I would say I like it better than The Boys. The Boys can be really cringy, which is funny because I really like Eric Kripke, but lately he's got more cringe than he used to be. And I think sometimes I have a hard time watching The Boys because it's so over the top. With some of the cringy stuff.
Well,
and
a lot of that is because the comics were that way too. Right? Like that's
Invincible. Invincible is pretty, you know, pretty
that's good. A good.
This is much closer to Invincible. Yes.
But with some mature themes.
I mean, Invincible was pretty mature.
That's fair.
Yeah, they've actually toned down a bit of it for the Amazon series. Not a lot. Like, it's still, like, all the blood and gore's there, but Invincible, they toned down certain elements of Invincible as they've gone through it. That said, I've played that a bunch.
Dispatches.
I love that game.
That's an easy sell.
It might end up being my one or two. I've not decided yet.
oh my gosh.
It's really good, Rusty.
All right.
This game is Justin.
Yeah, you don't do this often,
but I'm gonna say it. It's a five.
It's a 4.4. It's a 4.8 for me. Could have done a little bit better with the dispatch.
I mean, I can tell you right now.
Story's super strong, though.
Okay.
The story is really strong.
Okay. You're right. I could say 4.9 because I wanted more dispatching.
I want like an endless.
Right on that.
I want a grind on that.
I wanted less. Yeah.
Honestly,
I thought that that part of dispatch, the actual dispatching, felt bolted on. I wanted the movie. I wanted the show.
The show's really good.
You know, I mean, that's what I was looking at. Like, the show part of it is great. The dispatching allows you to kind of, you know, it is the gamification that allows you as the player to basically, you know, get a little bit deeper into it. But it's got the same feel as, you know, just watching a fucking computer screen. It doesn't have a whole lot of interaction to it. Like, I don't know. So when I look at like the Telltale games, what I wanted would be more like the Batman Telltale games where you're part of the action, with the quality that you get from, you know, from the actual like dispatch, the movie parts, like the entertaining parts for me. And I get it's all part of the feel, right? Like this is you sitting at a freaking old ass computer fucking dispatching, you know, superheroes because of reasons, right? But it's like, it felt artificial enough that I just wanted to get through the dispatch portion of the game so that I could get to the movie portions of the game, because that was the really interesting part for me. I could watch the fuck out of a whole series that is basically dispatch. If that was an anime, well, or a fucking Amazon and that's show,
probably
or anything, I'd have watched.
And that's part of the reason that this, I think that the writing in this is so good. They had Ad Hoc had actually given up on trying to make a game, and they were trying to make a live action television series, and that's where this script writing started. It wasn't until they failed to get funding to shoot series that they shifted gears back to doing a game. And then after like a year of development on the game, you know, they're struggling, they're about to give up, and then Critical Role comes in. And helps them get across the finish line. And that,
I think animation was the way to go. And, you know, it fits very well with, you know, with the story theme, because superhero, you automatically think comic book, right? Or anime. It's proven that it works with like Invincible. The animation quality is fucking top notch. The stories, you know, that I've seen so far has been pretty fucking good. I just, this is me personally being me. I was more into the animation quality and how that story progressed than I was the dispatching. Like, the dispatching could be a separate game, and that would be fun. Building the two together, it works, but I won't say that it doesn't grate me a little bit every time I have, you know, sit down, have to put the headset on and do the fucking, like, do the job, you know? I just want to get through the fucking job portion of it so that I can get back to, you know, pissing in somebody's
oatmeal. To your story.
You know, fucking, that's a thing for me. And I have differing opinions. Like, you know, you can enjoy your game, you know, your games differently than I'll enjoy mine. And of course my headspace is not in a weird places all the time. So that's one of the reasons why I stopped. Because when I was playing it, I was like, okay, this is great. This is perfect. Something changed right around episode 3. And I said, I'm not going to ruin the playthrough or my experience with this game by continuing or forcing myself to continue on at this point. And I set it down. Like, I will respect the game enough that I said, I'm not going to ruin it for myself by going into it with a bad headspace. So that is the reason why I haven't finished it. I needed something different at that point, so I moved on. I will finish it, and I will probably play it multiple times. It's just, you know, I have different needs for different days some days. So,
I get it.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I couldn't get into, like, you know, and I probably won't get into fucking Vampire the Masquerade or anything like that, because, like, my headspace is not there. So it's just, nope. That's just me.
Totally get it. Totally get it. And, you know, some of that also, I managed to shove Space Marine 2 in there as well.
Holy fuck.
That's a good, man. Jason was the gamer this time.
And played through that campaign. That campaign's all right.
Like, there's some really, really great cinematic moments in that campaign. I'll tell you, there are,
and the NPC characters in there that you're matched up against. You know, are decent enough. I feel like the one thing
spit it out.
I just felt like they didn't make the Space Marines rigid. All those conversations, I felt like there was too much emotion, if that makes sense. Like, I expect my Space Marines to be almost robotic.
Maybe that doesn't play out well in a story, though.
But that's the thing. They're not. They're not robotic. They're programmed. That's for sure. But they're not robotic. I mean, if you read some of the extra material or watch some of the extra shit that, you know, that's put out there, they've got a lot of story behind, like, a lot. So think of them as, like, I don't know, like super futuristic Knights of the Round, almost. Like, they're revered in that way because they're, you know, they're superhuman, and all of humanity look up to them because they have no choice. But, but they are still, you know, human. They're, they've just been very, very programmed, and, well, I mean, they can squish heads with, like, pimples. You know, it's
true, but also by this point in Warhammer 40K's story, a lot of them are gene clones.
Well, I mean, they've all been gene clones. That's the thing. The gene seed is, it, all of the houses, I know too much about this shit, but all of the houses were basically clones from, you know, the leader of the, you know, the head of the house, right? There was only so many sons of the emperor, and all of the, you know, the space marines are basically seeded with that, you know, those genes, so that they are all sons of the emperor. That's what makes them Astartes. But, you know, that's what makes them superhuman. That's basically what makes them bigger, you know?
Right.
But, you know, the act of becoming Astartes and getting the gene seed, I mean, they start out as a human, you know, and they go through a lot, and most people don't survive it, you know. So there's a whole backstory for that. But basically, yes, they do. They're going to, you know, they're gonna, you know, be, you know, soldiers, right? They're very religious soldiers, but they're gonna be soldiers, you know. And I don't expect them to be robots. You know, in fact, you know, the right. idea of them becoming robots, like with the, with like the dreadnoughts and whatnot, those are, you know, that's a whole different fucking story, but that is like, those are walking libraries with guns, you know, that's a whole fucking thing. Like 40K has some really neat stories to it. But I disagree, you know. I will disagree with you because I can. But I disagree on a fundamental level on this. I wanted to see the, you know, the Space Marines go, and be Space Marines, be the big motherfuckers out on the battlefield and like be, you know, be those Billy Badass assholes, right? But also, you know, have some of the extra shit that you don't normally see in your normal 40K battles. Like, they're not just machines. So that's just
right. That said, I mean, it's still an excellent game. I give it a 4.3.
I agree with that.
It didn't snag me as hard, and I didn't do any of the, you know, like the multiplayer anything. You know, I'm not big on PvP, so that was the thing. As soon as I got through the story, I was done with it. So yeah, I kind of agree. It did have its moments. It's just, you know, yeah,
I mean, as soon as those moments, some of the story moments are epic. You know, like that into the intro mission. I mean, holy fucking epic.
Oh, dude, the fucking
last stand, you know, shit.
The last stand, you know, with the banner. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, that was totally a power fantasy 40K moment. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That is what you expect from a, you know, like a 40K fucking Astartes last stand, you know, that type of shit. Like, oh God, it was, yeah, there was a whole freaking video, like, you know, and you can find it. I'm sure there's a, like, it's out there in the internet archive someplace. Some really talented animators did a full like 40K fucking movie essentially in multiple parts that you can watch, and it's still like the best 40K animation that you can find online. I think it's called Astartes. I'm not sure.
It is Astartes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That. If you watch through all of that, that is worth every second of watching, because holy shit, is that good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole video is like 12 and a half minutes, but it is 12 and a half minutes of pure fucking awesome.
Yeah, at some point we need to do a co-op. Play that like Gears of War.
Co-op.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Rusty, you've been
gaming.
Yeah, you've been doing again some gaming during the Christmas holidays.
I did. So gaming for me is kind of all over the place, right? And I tend to pick shit up, put shit down quite often. So what I ended up doing was, like, I was playing, I think I was talking about playing No Man's Sky, after I had beaten Borderlands 4, I played No Man's Sky for a while, and played through a lot of that shit, played through Dispatch until my headspace went in different directions, and then I needed a hack and slash, so I played through all of Cult of the Lamb again, which, yeah, is like, This is a thing that I was talking about at work, so I was one of the people that I work with crochets a lot, and she was crocheting a thing that looked a lot like the lamb from Cult of the Lamb, and I'm like, that reminds me of a game I played. And she's like, "You're the second person to say that to me." Yeah, that's a really good game. I'm going to go play that again. So I played that again. And then it's been kind of, up in the air after beating Cult of the Lamb. I was like, I don't know what to play. Like, I, got like Last Epoch, Path of Exile, stuff like that. Just like, something. I needed something. What I didn't know I needed was I needed to play through Elden Ring again.
I mean, it's a good game.
It is a game where I wish after I completed the game, I could erase my memory of the game so that I could play it again. I want that game to be new every time. Like,
I mean, there's rumors of Bloodborne 2 coming out.
There's rumors, but like Bloodborne needs to be remastered before it comes out, before Bloodborne 2 comes out.
There will be other things.
Like, I want Elden, I want basically what Elden Ring is, but I want more of it, but I don't want Nightreign. I don't want Nightreign. Like, Nightreign is...
It plays too different. I purchased that and played it, and it's so fast paced that you don't feel like you can be intentional with anything you do.
Right. And I uninstalled it. All I had to do was see how fast it, how the pacing was and how it basically does the whole, like, you have to boss rush shit and fucking randomize loot and, it didn't appeal to me. Like, nothing about it appealed to me. So I was like, nah, I'm not even going to play this. I like the slow, intentional pace of all of FromSoft games, well, most of FromSoft games, where you kind of have to figure out the world yourself. And, you just have to, like, learn shit. Like, when I was playing through this, I played through 99% of Elden Ring again just recently. Put 116 hours in it in the last 2 weeks. It's a lot of hours. Oh. Like, I was lost in it.
A ton of hours.
So I said from the very beginning, I named my character Sword and Board. Basically, I was going to play a playthrough where it was, a weapon and a shield. Sword and Board, right? Started off playing with straight swords with a medium shield and ended up going all the way up to basically any, any weapon that I could wield in one hand with a great shield in the other. And, using guard counters instead of rolls in a lot of cases to, to defeat bosses. That was my chosen way of playing through this latest version of, of Elden Ring. And every time I go through Elden Ring, I play it a little bit different, and that is what makes it appealing to me. Like the first time I played through it, this is the craziest thing to me. The very first time I played through and beat a FromSoft game was Elden Ring, playing as a caster. I played as a sorcerer, caster, using fucking sorceries. I beat that game with what I now consider probably one of the harder ways of playing that game. Because you're juggling your health and your mana, and you have to keep distance. You're basically, you don't have a whole lot of armor. So you're not tanking anything. You've got distance, but I mean, some of the bosses are fucking difficult at distance. They're way easier if you're like right up on their knees. I beat the game with that as my very first character. Second one was a full strength build. The third one was a full faith build. This one was this one turned into a strength and faith build. Because I needed enough strength to be able to carry, to wield the weapons that I was looking at, but all of the weapons were faith scale weapons. So I did it that way. And every time is different. Like every single time I play this game is a little bit different. Like I'm already thinking the next time to challenge myself, like instead of having something that, always goes with a heavier weapon just for the, for staggerability and stuff, to challenge myself even further and go with lighter weapons, go with stuff that doesn't necessarily stagger things like rapiers, or like the heavy thrusting swords or spears or something like that, right? Something that is, that is completely a different kind of playthrough, because especially with rapiers, you don't have a slash. Like you don't have a wide arc that you can, that you can clear in front of you. So you have to be very deliberate. You have to aim a lot of times. With thrusting weapons, you have to know where your hitboxes are, aim, and be able to, to like go in, do a couple pokes, roll back out again, and, be a lot more mobile. And I think that's one of the things that keeps bringing me back to, to Elden Ring. Like, there's different ways to build your characters to, to experience that game, even though you know where everything's at. Some of that is like, yeah, I can rush to get this item, this weapon that I need. But if you're playing a playthrough that is like, hey, I need to get this weapon. And then when I get this weapon, this is the only weapon that I'm going to upgrade. It takes a lot of the pressure out of, like, I have to clear literally everything just to find the things that you need. You then now want to clear literally everything so that you can experience the boss at the end with that weapon. It does have a different, a gameplay loop for me, because I now, like, I now have to learn a boss in a different way, like playing, in fighting, like some of the bigger story bosses, like, oh fuck, trying to, to deal with, Radahn, with a street sword that is about as long as a fucking pinky. That was fun. Because you basically have to be right up under his fucking ass to be able to hit him. For me, it has a lot of replay value. I mean, Steam says that I've played 551 hours of Elden Ring. Which is, that's a lot. That is a lot of time. I don't know where it like lands in my overall. I'm looking to see right now where it lands. It lands 1, 2, 3, 5th, fifth in my most played. I have Warframe, Destiny 2, Elite Dangerous, Ark Survival Evolved, and then Elden Ring. And Elden Ring is only a couple hours off of, going up a couple levels there. So that's pretty crazy.
Did you end up playing anything else?
Let's see. So as of right now, I really do want to, to get into something, different, but I haven't landed on the next game. So as of right now, not really. I spent last night, because I saw that Hogwarts Legacy was on like super deep sale, like 90% off. But I also still have Game Pass, and it's on Game Pass. So last night I played like a couple hours of Hogwarts Legacy, because I hadn't finished it on the PlayStation, which I initially bought it. So Hogwarts Legacy for me is still kind of meh. Then again, I'm not a big fan of the wizarding world, right? It doesn't hold any magic for me. So it's cool that you can kind of walk through Hogwarts and, do the whole thing, but it's like, it's almost like a high school simulator.
It's not bad. It was decent. I think I gave it about a 4. Like, parts of it are just paced weird.
I can tell you that it's not for me. Because it's more of a collectathon than anything else, right? I wanted more. I wanted more combat. The story is great, and the story beat that they put together is great. But I don't necessarily want to be a student, and I don't want to have to go to classes. And Hogwarts is a fucking maze, and the only way really to level up is to do quests and do the collectathon shit. Like, you're constantly running around using Revelio to fucking reveal the fucking like scrolls or pages or whatever, so that you can get XP, so that you can wear different fucking outfits that never match and always make you look like you just like went through your grandmother's fucking wardrobe and just started putting shit on. It's just, it's not for me. What I want is, I want another time sink, but I don't want an MMO. And I've gone through both of the time sinks that I know of, this year, or, in 2025, I went through another playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3. I went through all of Elden Ring. Those were my big time sinks. I told myself I would never pick up Warframe ever again because of what it did to my bank account. And that was not Warframe's fault. That was my fault. I just know how bad I am about that. I picked up No Man's Sky and, you know, I went through all of that. So I'm looking for another time sink. Like, I'm thinking maybe picking up and going through Monster Hunter Wilds again. I don't know.
It's time to break out RimWorld.
RimWorld? So RimWorld for me has always been kind of hit and miss. I want RimWorld to work for me, but I also want to be more involved in what I'm playing instead of watching little guys do the things that
try
I
told them to. Abiotic Factor.
Abiotic Factor does not hit for me at all. I have tried 3-4 times.
Damn.
It does not hit for me at all. And that goes for, you know, and right now that's going for pretty much any base builder game. Anything like Satisfactory, Factorio, fucking, you know, anything that has to do with base building, like, at all. I don't want to build a house. I really don't. I just want to, you know, I want to play a game.
Riftbreaker's on a pretty deep sell right now.
But Riftbreaker's also building a base.
Somewhat. It's turtling and then going and playing Diablo.
Yeah, but it's has to do with, you know, generating resources and then protecting your resource base. And
it's different strokes for different folks, I suppose.
Yeah, it's for me. I don't know. Like this is where my ADD comes in, right? This is where I have different flavors that have to be met. And if I don't meet those flavors, I have a hard time, you know, sitting down with a game. Like, I really do. You know, and if it's, you know, if I don't have, I can't just pick up a game just because, hey, somebody said it's great. Like, that, it don't work for me. You know.
Well.
It's hard to describe, and it's that's the difficult part of gaming for me. This is one of the reasons why I just want summer to happen, because in these situations I would 110% just go outside, but it's so fucking cold outside right now that I've got cabin fever and. I'll figure something out, but
that seems where the majority of that is. I've got stuff for you guys. Actually beat games.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I have recognized that I'd like to go like way too personal, but the old relationship situation wasn't working. That was causing me to not be happy playing freaking anything. So I made some changes last month and stopped doing that. Let's just say that I'm no longer dating long distance. I'm dating locally, and that has been an amazing change. But I don't know that I've told everybody, but I beat Borderlands 4. I don't remember if I had beat it last time that we were doing this.
Yeah.
I got that knocked out.
How do you feel about that?
I beat Tainted Grail. Like, after I broke up with my ex, like, I just started, like, hauling ass through games. Beat Borderlands 4.
That's the Fall of Avalon.
Yeah, that game's good. I beat the pants off that game. Probably about, I don't know, I'd have to look at my game time. 64 hours.
So that's the one that's kind of like
Skyrim.
Person. Skyrim, yeah.
It's
Skyrim,
basically just Skyrim with more options. Okay. It's indie Skyrim. It's really good. So I beat Tainted Grail end of the day, and they just added a DLC, but I'm not going to get it yet because I'm not ready to jump back in. But end of the day, pretty solid, like 4-4 game, right? Especially since there's not anybody else doing that. Played and finished Dispatch. I'm going to stand with the 4-9 that I gave it. That game's solid as hell. And then I'm dating somebody who likes to also play games. So we've debated on what to play, but we ended up on, well, before I go into that, because there's actually some interesting things that we figured out. I started playing Kazan again because I want to beat that. And I completely restarted Kazan, which is crazy. It's crazy, but I'm going to tell you what you should do. So the game's hard, harder than Dark Souls or Elden Ring. Let's just get that out of the way. Play it on normal mode. You will be way happier with yourself because the parry window is a lot more forgiving, and so is the dodge window. And then I was already pretty good at the hard stuff, so like it made me feel like I could grind to get better levels of stuff. Kazan is essentially like an sort of the Berserk, right? Kind of. But Dark Souls styled, and the graphics are very anime, but very raw, right? There's blood and guts all over the place. There are great kill animations. There are a lot of fun abilities. You level up your abilities through doing. So I really like Greatsword, which I've heard is one of the harder things to play. Everybody says, going through Reddit, seeing like looking for build ideas. A lot of people saying spear. I prefer the sword. But I think things that kind of – so it has the same mechanic, right? If you die, you got to go back and pick up your experience like Dark Souls. But there are collectibles in every level that give you additional stats, essentially, that you can go collect and like you get extra stamina recovery or whatever, right? And then there are these little guys that you find that let you unlock different helmets that provide additional abilities, which is really cool. There are side missions that you unlock. So you basically unlock a nexus like you do in Demon Souls, right? So you have the little hub that has all the people you found. They all have little side stories, and you can go back into levels that have been kind of rearranged from that you just beat. And it's a little like slice of life section based on the story that you're trying to complete for those people, which ends in a boss fight. Boss fights aren't quite as hard, typically. Some of these have been pretty hard, as the main fights. But I'll say playing it on normal, and I have no shame in this because this game is really hard, made me have a lot of fun with it. In fact, I was talking to the girl. She was saying, no, you should just stream it because I was talking about it a lot, and she's a big Dark Souls fan. And I was like, all right, I'll stream it. And she's been having fun watching me stream it when we're not out doing things. Because the boss fights are really epic. And it makes you feel really good when you do what's called a blink dodge. This is a basically a perfect dodge, right? Where you get a perfect parry and then like it reflects back the attack, where you do a parry and riposte, which is really fun to do. And you start to get really used to that stuff, but like play it on normal. And it's really good. The combat's really good, really satisfying. Like I'm playing a great sword and I'm finding it extremely satisfying. It has kind of like a Diablo-style loot table, so they have different types of loot, right? Different armor sets that drop from bosses or from levels that you can go back and grind. And then you have a whole crafting system, so you can melt down the gear that you have, essentially, and use the parts from that to create that set. So let's say you can't find all the sets from a certain boss. Well, you know that like at a certain point in that level, you're going to unlock the crafting recipe for it, and you can go back and farm anywhere. And any missing things that you had in that set, you can craft now and then make that part of the set. You can reroll attributes on your gear, right? Like the further you get into it, there's all sorts of customization that you can do with the gear. There are like sets that like pair really well with different. So like it could be a sword, sword gloves, helmet, pants, shirt, shoes, and neck. Like there's sets that pair with just weapons and trinkets, and then sets that pair with everything. So you can kind of mix and match your sets. And all the sets look really cool. But even with the Greatsword, it's a fairly fast-paced action game. Like the Greatsword is just a little bit more deliberate. And I think Kazan, if I beat it and it stays this good, actually ends up maybe in my top five. It's a really good game. And it's I've been playing Wuchang. I keep getting lost in Wuchang. It's a little bit too directionless. I'm having way more fun with Kazan, honestly, which is funny to say because it's supposedly the harder game. But yeah, something changed in the last several months because people were saying it was so hard that they retuned the difficulty levels on it because it's got easy, normal, hard, and then very hard. But like worth a play. If you're a good Souls player, you can play it on normal and you feel pretty good about yourself. Not feel like you suck at life. But Kazan is freaking solid. Been having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Tried some co-op games. Says the gal wanted to try some stuff that we could play together, local co-op. And we tried Split Fiction, which we're playing through right now, which is a pretty good game that doesn't feel like a girlfriend game. It's essentially like a lot of physics puzzles plus some light combat. Like there's a whole section where like you're two people, right? So you like we jump in this like ship, and then one person's driving the ship and the other person's like manning the guns, right? Like stuff like that was really cool. And there's been some levels that were like really fucking annoying. But yeah, it's a lot of like physics puzzles where both people have to play a part in it, and it's not easy. Like that's like shouldn't stress that enough. Like if you are with somebody who's a casual gamer, this might be pretty damn hard because both of us are pretty hardcore and we're having difficulty with some of the physics puzzles at the same time. But it's good because it's challenging and it doesn't feel like an easy sauce bullshit game. But Split Fiction, got that on sale. And then T told me there was a lot of features of Power World that I should check out. So I got Power World for like $20-odd. And there is a program called Nucleus. So found out that Valheim is also couch co-op on PC with this, right?
Okay.
7 Days to Die. There's about 700 games. And what Nucleus does is you assign inputs for each player, like a player one, player two, and it can launch in a couple of different ways. So you can use it like split screen, right? Like you can set it up to where it's on the same monitor, top and bottom. Or in my case, I have two TVs. So I set myself up on one TV and set her up on the other one. And I hit it. It launches two instances of the game on your local account and then turns it into co-op. And it works really well. Like it's kind of magical, right? With Power World, you just copy the friend invite code, put it in the other person's join multiplayer game. The mouse works on both screens. So you just copy it over real quick. And then other person is able to just hop on in. It launches in like a minute. So we've been able to jump in there and then like just dick around with that. Like we played for like 12 hours on New Year's Day. It's a really good game. Yeah. A really good program though, rather. Highly suggest Nucleus. But yeah, I've also been playing lots and lots and lots of games and will continue to. But I think for full-length episode, I think we've talked quite a bit.
Yeah.
You guys know that we do news episodes. I think that's what we ought to move to next. What do you guys think?
Sure.
All right, y'all.
All right, guys. We'll see you next month with another full-length episode.
Probably be game of the year.
Yep. Oh, that's true. That's a thing that we need to think about. Holy crap.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll see ya.
Peace.